Just look to Jesus.
You look to Jesus.
Just look to Jesus now.
To Jesus.
I know he's the one.
He's the one.
I know.
Hello, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Raw Spiel, where we keep it real with the hard truth. And I'm glad to have joining us today as a man that's keeping the legacy going. He is the son of the late Willie Banks. He is known to us as Mr. Willie Banks Jr. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Same here. Doing fine myself. And I'm just glad you was able to make the time to be on this broadcast and share some experiences with us here.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
All right, and let's just get started here. Could you tell us how did you get started in the music industry? What got you into the music industry yourself?
Well, what inspired me to want to do music full time was my father. When I was a young boy, about 8 years old, I was able to do some traveling with him. I was backstage and I was at the record table and in the dressing rooms, and I was able to mingle with not only his group and his members, but other groups, professional groups that were, at these particular programs, these shows. And from then on, I knew that music was what I wanted to do for a living, that I wanted to travel and do music. So I got the bug and I got it bad when I was a young boy, and I've had it ever since.
I hear you on that. So you play some bass. So you was in R&B for a while, or in some else besides gospel?
Well, I started out, of course, in church.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But I currently play R&B with Eric Benet. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of studio work as well, but he's the only artist that I actually travel with. So I travel with him, and he's a good guy. He has a church background as well, so we get the clown backstage in the dressing rooms, mm-hmm. and singing and closing like we're preaching, and just having fun, just reminiscing about church. And I still play for church as well. I play for Bishop Daryl Hines of Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And I played, previous to that, I played for Bishop R.J. Burt, Greater New Birth Church, for nearly 20 years. But I currently play with Bishop Daryl Hines of Christian Faith Fellowship Church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh man, so you have your hands full. So between playing behind Mr. Bonet and your own group and the church, you got yourself a pretty full schedule.
Well, yeah, I do more than that, actually. I still do freelance work, so I do this for a living. So
yes,
this is what I do, So mm-hmm. I enjoy it,
Yeah, that's good. And I'm glad you mentioned that. So you got some R&B work in gospel. So if I want you to, I guess, share your experiences on both sides, because listening to on other platforms, I think of a guy in particular. He's a promoter, and I heard him on another social media platform. He was saying that. Okay, he promotes both gospel and I believe blues to Southern Soul or something like that. And he was saying that is more difficult. He was saying that the gospel singers was more difficult to work with. And I just want to don't know, since you, you know, done both, doing both, I just like to, I guess from the business aspect, you know, as you're doing your rhythm and blues, I mean, the R&B as versus the gospel, as, you know, I guess, which, before, like business, which one handled their business better, the secular side or the gospel side?
Well, I think it's unfair to say that gospel doesn't handle business. Well, it's more difficult to work with gospel. It just depends on the artist. It depends on their team, their management. Yeah. You know, you have, you know, good management, and then you have not so good management, and both sides, you know, so right. That's just not true for gospel. It can be true for, you know, the secular arena as well. So it just depends on, you know, who you have representing you and, you know, managing you and taking care of the business. And it really doesn't matter what genre of music, or, you know, whether it be secular or gospel. It just depends on your team, who you have, you know, representing you. That's been my experience. You know, mm-hmm. I've seen the good and bad on both sides of it, you know, so yeah, I wouldn't say that it's just something that happens in the gospel arena, you know, mm-hmm. because, you know, you have your, what we call divas in both of them, you know, you have some people are harder to work with than others, you know, so it just depends on, you know, the nature of their team, you know.
Okay, yeah, I'm glad you brought that out. That's a good and fair answer. You know, it's just, you know, I just, you know, much I enjoy a quartet. You know, it just seemed like, well, yeah, you made a quartet. It seemed like just have a bad name. You know, of things that, of, you know, things, you know, running around chasing women. You know, like business aspect, the money and things of that nature. So it's good to hear, you know, it's just because it's gospel, you know, you go, all of them will give you a hard time.
Right.
So it's across the board, not just in the sacred, but sacred and secular. It's just, you know, like I said, it's a thing of management, I guess, you know. So.
Yeah, you know, the major difference is in, you know, the major difference would be just the budget, you know. Secular shows, you know, they have a bigger budget than the, you know, especially more than quartet shows anyway.
Right.
But even with that, it depends on who you're working with. You know, you have some promoters that have a big budget in gospel, and they can, you know, they can spend the money, you know, and then, but for the majority of the time, especially in quartet gospel, you know, we have, it's a much smaller market, you know, right. So with a smaller market, you know, you have less money. And so the quality may not be as good as if you were to, you know, experience a more secular show where they have more of a budget to make sure that certain things are in place and, you know, have people positioned to do certain things, you know. So when you look at it like that, you know, then you get to understand, you know, that it's just two different arenas, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a smaller market, and we're working on, you know, trying to build it back up like it was, you know, like I can remember back in the 80s, early 90s when quartet, you know, you could pack a house, pack an arena out, you know. There were times where you could do that and it kind of died off, but I believe that those times are coming back. You know, quartet shows are getting, the production of the shows rather are getting better, you know, much better, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm just excited about what it can be and what it's becoming. You know, we have these younger artists as well as the older, but the younger artists, they're pushing the envelope, and I'm glad to see it. And I'm hopefully, you know, I can help, you know, the process along with, you know, with what God has given me to do.
Yes, indeed. We're talking to Willie Banks Jr., the son of the legendary late Mr. Willie Banks. And you know, You talking about getting the quartet to the level that they can be. One group I think about in particular is the Blind Boys of Alabama. I tell you, I know one. I was talking to Mr. Fred Rice not that long ago of the Pilgrim Jubilees. He was with the Blind Boys, and I tell you, that one particular time, I looked at their itinerary. I haven't looked at it lately. Man, those guys, they do a lot of work overseas. I look at them like month to month. Man, those guys like stay busy, now, super busy, packing, you know, auditoriums and things of that nature.
Now, if you notice, you won't see them on a show with Harvey Watkins and with Doc McKenzie, right. And right. with Darrell McFadden, the Disciples, and with the Swannies and with Spencer Taylor and, you know, the QCs, you know, CC Williams, you know, you won't see them on those type of shows. They're in a different market. It's still a gospel market, but it's a different, it's more of the white market, the white gospel market, you know? Okay, so gotcha. Like, 'cause if you look at those audiences, it's white people, you know, they're doing, right. You can see them on the House of Blues. You can see them on festivals, you know? So their management has them in a different market. It's still gospel, and they're still, you know, representing God, but it's a different market, and they're thriving, and it's, you know, their audience appreciates their sound and what they do. So they're going to keep packing houses until they can't do it anymore. It's just this is what it is, you know. And I think that's one of the things that kind of holds us back as, you know, the black artists in quartet gospel. We kind of limit ourselves. We don't reach out to those markets, or we mm-hmm. have a hard time getting into those markets. Mm-hmm. So, if we can find a way to bridge that gap and still keep our audience, you know, and, you know, gain a bigger audience like they have, you know, tap into that arena as well. I believe, man, we can make some big things happen. And, you know, some of these groups that are so good can reach a broader audience.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that you're talking about taking quartet to that next level. That's what I would like to see. Guys like yourself, Darrell McFadden, and the Swannies, to have that kind of, you know, to have that kind of reach like the Blind Boys have. So you might answer that, but what do you think would take for artists like that, like yourself and the Darrell McFadden, sort of the Doc McKenzie's, to get an audience, to get a following like the Blind Boys of Alabama have? But that seemed like something that all your guys ought to be reaching for.
Well, in my opinion, it's all about relationship. It's about developing a relationship with somebody from that arena. And, you know, just talking with them and just setting it up. You know, we just have to develop a relationship with folks that work in that arena that can, you know, that can bring attention to your group and that can get you in there. You know, I don't know. I can't say that guys aren't trying to do it, but I just think that if we, you know, develop that relationship, it's all about relationship at the end of the day. It's about who you know, right. And and about, you know, having good representation, having somebody that knows what to say and how to, you know, interact with the right people to you know, get these groups on their radar,
right?
You know, but I believe it can be done. You know, it's just, you know, if we would just broaden our thinking, you know, I'm not saying that they aren't, but, you know, that's just something that I think that if we make the effort, I think that arena will welcome these groups in happily. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, developing a relationship with the right people and, you know, somebody taking a chance on us and us, and we representing in the proper manner with the proper, you know, management, people in management doing the right things and, you know, being integral, and just I think it can work out.
Yes, sir. I'm telling you, I like to see that. You know, just flip the TV channel on Fox News and just see Willie Banks Jr. on there. You know.
Hey, whatever God says, you know, I would love to be in that circuit because it's, you know, it's a thriving circuit and, you know, and you can, you know, it's just, there's so many more people that to sing to than just our folks all the time in the same cities, you know, and in the same exactly. churches, you know, there's so much more to, you know, people that so many more people we can reach rather. You know, especially on the West Coast, you know, hit some markets that, you know, we're not necessarily known to hit, you know, like mm-hmm. like the West Coast, you know, like Seattle right. and hit L.A. more and Colorado and, you know, Arizona and, you know, those markets, you know, there's a lot of country here that we haven't that we don't touch, that's you true. Know. You know, and then, like you said, we can reach abroad. You know, once you get in those circuits and the right people hear you, man, you can be flying all overseas. You can do Europe. You can do Africa. You can do, mm-hmm. you know, the UK, yeah. you know, even Asia. You got Asian guys singing quartet now, you know. So, you know, it's the opportunity is there and the internet has made the world so much smaller. We're all connected now. There really isn't any excuse. We just have to, you know, put in the work and, you know, be intentional with the direction we're trying to go in as far as broadening our horizons. Now, I don't want to overtalk you, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, man. Look, hey, yeah. the less I talk, the better. Hey, that's what you're on here for.
but yeah, you know, I believe it can be done. You know, we have a lot of great people, a lot of great artists, you know, and we just have to develop the relationship and bridge the gap through relationship. That's so important. You know, I see it time and time again, especially in a secular arena. It's all about relationship. Relationship will get you where your money can't. Mm. You know, so that it's very important, you know, to just develop relationships with the right people, with key people. And it don't have to be many of them, just it has to be the right people.
Exactly.
You know, so. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all good points. I would like to see that day come when, like you said, like the Willie Banks Jr., the Darryl McFaddens, the Daryl Pettys are on that big stage. They're going overseas on a regular basis like the Blind Boys are doing. So
there's no reason why Harvey Watkins and Doc McKenzie and, you know, Spencer Taylor, those guys can't be on the same stages as the Blind Boys. There's no reason why they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
These are legendary groups that, mm-hmm. you know, I know those people that crowd would enjoy those guys. I know they would, you know,
yes, sir.
It's good gospel music, you know, and I believe that they could thrive in that market. I really do. And, you know, along with others. You know, and I'm just excited about the future because I think it's going to happen.
Yeah,
I think it's going to happen because we have a lot of bright young people, a lot of bright young minds, you know, coming in that understand business, that understand marketing. Mm-hmm. We just got to, you know, get guys to be professional, like we say in a row, off the court as well as on the court, off the stage right. as well as on the stage, you know, and, you know, represent in a way that, you know, not that these guys are so high and mighty on this end, but no, on the other end, but, you know, your actions do speak volumes about you, you know, and you have to be somebody that they can trust off the stage, you know, to take care of business and, you know, have good people around them to kind of keep things in line. You know, that's where good management comes in and having somebody that understands how to really present a artist and to present a group, you know, those things are important. You know, you'd be surprised how the little things mean so much being professional.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, the little things, you know, like just being on time and not, you know, supporting each other and not being so wild. If you're a wild guy, hey, you're a wild guy, but you don't have to let everybody know. You don't have to be so mm-hmm. wide open with it. You know, at least try to, you know, be professional. You know, because people, they'll remember your bad before they remember your good, you know. And I know it's unfortunate, you know, but it's the reality, you know. And that's how Quartet got that reputation that it got, you know, because it doesn't matter how well you can sing, somebody always remembered that mess that you were in, or that thing, that negative thing that you did or said, you know. And it's, like I said, it's unfortunate, but people don't forget those type of things, you know.
Definitely.
So if we can just, you know, be more mindful and be more intentional in how we move, I believe that God will open some doors for his groups, for the people that's representing him, especially in the Quartet arena.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you, I'll be looking forward to that myself, you know. And it's funny you mentioned the UK. I was sharing with Mr. Arthur Croom and his family. But the way I play, I play guitar, and I play like a old style. I play slide, you know, that bottleneck style, you know.
Uh-huh.
I play that style, you know, a young guy. It's been a couple of years ago. There's the power of the internet. Like you said, internet makes the world smaller, whatever. Now, he heard me play online, and he let me know, yeah, he's from the UK, and he was trying to get me to, you know, to fly over there and, you know, possibly do a tour. That just based on, I wasn't live anywhere. I was just at home playing, and he heard me, and he wanted to get me over there. Well, no reason I ain't go, because back then I had a thing about flying. You couldn't get me on no plane, you know, a few years ago. But that's just amazing to me. I'm not all that, but you know, just by what he heard, that was enough that he wanted me over there. He was begging me to come over there and do a little tour. So
there's room for everybody.
Yes, it is.
There really is room for everybody, you know. And if you can find your niche, you know what I'm saying, you can be successful, you know. A lot of times we try to be successful outside of what we do, you know, trying to pattern after somebody else. And you lose every time that way, in my opinion. But if you just go ahead and be who you are, you know, and you'll be all right. Somebody appreciates what you do, and be the best at what you do, you know, be good at it, you know, take the time to craft it and to perfect it. And, you know, people will notice that.
And that's one thing I found out too, you know, speaking to one of the soulsters the other day, they were telling me, like, overseas, they eat that stuff up. There's traditional gospel and like that old stuff I do. Man, they overseas, that's man. Like, but we're like over here, that's like in the U.S., that's like, oh man, that's old time and we need to, you know, jazz it up. But overseas, man, they love that old traditional gospel music.
I can be a witness. I've been a lot of places, you know, they really do, not only in gospel, but in secular music too. They just like the older, they can appreciate, you know, the older style of singing, you know, the older music. They really, I mean, they'll come out and support it and buy tickets for that stuff, you know, and sell out. You'll sell out, you know. It's just they have a different appreciation for it than we do here in the States.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, might renew my passport, do something.
Yeah, man, get it together, man. It's work out there for you, man.
Yeah, I tell you, that's something. But we're speaking to Mr. Willie Banks Jr. So you was able to travel up and down the road with your father. So did he live long enough to see you pursue your music career or take an interest? Well, did he live long enough to see you take off in your music career, or to start off in pursue it?
He did. I had a group with some family members of mine. We were called the Young Gospel Travelers. We were like, 14, 12, around that age. We weren't even, 18 yet. Young boys, we weren't even in high school yet. And we did our little thing around Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where I'm from, and, made a little name as the, they called us the Boy Wonders. Who are these little boys singing and playing like grown men, And around 1992, right before he died in 93, with 92, I was about 15 years old. We opened up for him. He came to Milwaukee and we opened up for him. And one of the songs I sang was one of his songs, God Will Take Care of His Own. We sung that. And he peeked out of the dressing room, was looking, because he didn't know I could sing.
Oh, no.
he didn't know. And once he got on stage, he called me up to sing background on the song with him. And I came up and I sang, and he started crying. That's the first time and the only time I saw my dad cry. Mm. And he's like, he was just, I guess it was tears of joy. He's like, yeah. My son can sing, y'all. And he was trying to take me on the road with him then, but my mama wouldn't let me go. She's like, no, he got to finish school and, all this stuff, But so he got a chance to hear, that he had a son that could, sing and play and, and kind of follow in his footsteps at that point. But he died shortly after that. He died not even 6 months after that.
Okay.
Yeah, so I didn't get a chance to really sing with him like I wanted to. I wanted to be, his right-hand man. I was going to be the second lead guy or whatever he needed me to be. I just wanted to travel with my dad, but, that accident messed him up pretty bad. And it was a blessing that he lived as long as he did, he was sick, but he was still singing, Like he said, on the battlefield for the Lord, and there is no retirement in God's services. So he sung until he died, literally.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just glad that I did get an opportunity to stand on stage with him, and at least once, and sing, yeah. and show him that that I was following in his footsteps.
I'm wondering if I got that on VHS or something. That'll be.
I think there's a guy that has it, but I gotta find. I think he passed, but some of his children may have those videos because he recorded everything, And so I'm trying to see if maybe he had it, but that's a moment I'll never forget. It was just being able to sing with my dad, I have pictures, but I don't have any audio of it.
Right.
I'm trying to see if anybody had any audio of it, but yeah.
Oh man, you got pictures. Oh man, that's sweet too, man. Y'all two on style. I think about that sometimes. I said, man, that'd have been a good combo, Willie Jr. and Senior. If he was able to live longer. Y'all two just sharing the leads. Said, man, that's. Well, that'd have been something to see there.
Yeah, I was planning on being with Harvey, like Harvey Watkins and his dad, Pop Watkins. That was my plan, and but it didn't, God saw fit to take him on home. So I'm just glad that I was able to get the time I did with him, and to glean from the knowledge that he had, because he had a wealth of knowledge as far as singing and how to be on stage and how to sing. Like, the man had technique, so I'm just excited, and I'm grateful that I was able to have an opportunity to kind of see behind the scenes how everything went and how everything took place, how he was able to execute like he did.
Yes, I'll tell you, again, speaking to Willie Banks Jr., son of the legendary, the late Willie Banks. I tell you, I I was, like I said, I guess like some of us, I guess a large number of us didn't know you existed. Mr. Banks had a son. You know, I was sitting back and thinking that's an episode of Good Times where James saw his father for the first time since he was a little child. And I was, you know, when I seen you, James asked his father, he said, man, where you been? And that's kind of how I feel when I saw, say, Willie Banks Jr. I'm like, I said, man, where you been?
Well, let me clear this up, though.
Yes, sir.
Willie Banks Jr. is not what's on my birth certificate, right?
Right, yes, sir.
My name is Afton Johnson. Mm-hmm. You know, Willie Banks Jr. has been a nickname of mine ever since I was a little boy because, you know, now we do, there are more brothers, there are more sons, mm-hmm. but I look the most like him and I'm the only one that's kind of doing music is following his footsteps. So they always call me, you know, Little Banks, you know, Banks Jr. But I actually have a sister named Little Banks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But they always call me Little Willie, you know, ever since I can remember, you know, just so mm-hmm. I was just in. And believe it or not, God told me to come out as Willie Banks Jr. I didn't want to do it, you know, because I knew that Willie Banks Jr. didn't exist. You know, I got mm-hmm. older brothers, you know, but there was no junior, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
okay.
Yeah. So that's just, I'm just the one, I'm the same height, same shoe size. I mean, everything, you know, look like him, you know, just, so it was just, that's just how the chips fell.
Oh yeah, I tell you, that's, and you have your own group, the End Time Messengers. So y'all pretty much, I know you got your own sound and I'm glad you guys are, you know, carrying on the legacy.
Yeah, we're just getting started, but
okay.
Yeah, we're moving forward. You know, it's a lot trying to, you know, when you're first starting out, it's a lot that has to be done, mm-hmm. and I've been able to develop a relationship with people like Harvey Watkins Jr.
Yeah.
And you know, Darrell McFadden and those guys, and they're telling me, you know, just don't have to rush it, man. Just take your time and, you know, do it right, mm-hmm. you know, so that's what I'm doing. If I give you a quick testimony, I was supposed to do a show down in I'm right now I'm in Birmingham, Alabama, but I was supposed to do a show in where is it? South Carolina, North Carolina, and I wasn't able to do it. I wound up getting sick. My potassium had gotten so low that my kidneys were shutting down, almost died. Mm-hmm. And, you know, had a really bad fever and respiratory infection and was really dehydrated. And so I wasn't able to do the show. And that was, I believe that was God's way of letting me know, hey, slow down, you know, don't rush it. You know, get everything in order, you know, yeah. You know, because sometimes, you know, you're so eager to do stuff and get the ball rolling and you want to hurry up and get stuff done, but you know, it may not always be in God's timing, you know? So I'm right now, I took the rest of the year off. We're still, you know, working on the record and stuff. And we'll talk about that a little later, but, it's just, you know, I had to slow down a little bit and make sure that, you know, the business of everything is right. You know, right. get everything right and, you know, get everything in order. So when we come out, we can come out as strong as possible. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. I guess, no, God has his way of getting our attention.
Oh, he sure does. He definitely got mine.
I know I can go on and on myself about this. Yeah, he has his way. He'll snap you right up. Yes, indeed. And I understand. So you married and you have children of your own.
Yeah, I've been married 24 years, and I have three children. I have two daughters and a son. You know, I have two girls in college, and my son, he's getting ready to graduate high school in the spring. So I'm getting closer and closer to being an empty nester. Not quite, but getting there.
I want to ask you about that. Okay, so you're married, what, 23 years, you said?
24 years.
24 years. That's a blessing there. And being married, so if you don't mind sharing, how are you able to balance your marriage and your music career? I know sometimes some men trying to pursue their music career, sometimes that'll be a strain on the marriage. But how is your marriage able to endure, you being on the road, you have a wife and children at home? How are you able to keep things together?
Well, I'll say this. Communication is a strong foundation in any relationship. And my wife, I was doing music. I've been a road musician since I was 16 years old. I got married at 21. So my wife, she kind of knew what she was getting into when she married me, because I was already kind of doing it, already. So she understood the assignment, if you will. And she's been very supportive. We've had our ups and downs, we've had some hills to climb at times, and there's some times where I had to work jobs and, work temp jobs and, back and forth. But through it all, when you find somebody that is willing to go take that journey with you, it's a blessing. And that's what she's been for me. She's been a great support to me. She understood that music is something I've always loved to do, and that I believe that God has gifted me to do and ordained me to do. And she's been supportive, man. And then to this day, she still supports me, and we support each other, because she has her thing going on too, not musically, but she's an awesome businesswoman and entrepreneur. And it's, I one thing I must say, she loves being a wife, and you don't find that these days. Like she likes being a wife and a mother. She enjoys that. And I think that's special, because it's hard to find women that enjoy, being a mother and a wife. Everybody's trying to, do their own thing, and and I've been blessed to find a woman that, that has that type of attitude, and she can still handle business, So I consider myself blessed.
I'll tell you, I like to hear that. He says she likes to be a wife and a mother. And man, that's a whole other topic right there, man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. We can talk about that a while.
That's something that's something we have talked on, this broadcast here, the Raw Spiel. We touch on things like that. We touch on things like abortion and marriages, just things that's going on in the world. And I had my pastor was on here with me too for almost a year, and we cover those things, the marriages, how what is a what's the role of the husband and role of the wife. That's according to what the scripture says, not this reality TV stuff here and social media and that junk really bust up a home.
So I'm
glad to hear you have a wife that really support what you're doing, and most importantly love being a wife and a mother. So I better get off of that.
it's crazy. She's amazing. I mean, she really is amazing in my eyes, because she's able to juggle a lot of things, and I thank God for her, and I thank God for trusting me with a woman like that, allowing a woman like that to love on me the way she does, because, hey, I can be a problem sometimes, but she's patient with me as I am with her, and we make it work, and we continue to make it work. I plan to be married to her for the rest of my life, Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody going nowhere anytime soon. So, yeah.
I tell you, man, I tell you, that makes a world of difference, knowing someone, you got someone by your side who's got your back, not pushing against you, because I've seen that happen. The men out there want to make a living doing the music, but their wife just not fully on board, and that just everything crumbles. So it's just I'm really happy to hear that you have a wife that has your back, that's supporting what you're doing, and y'all supporting one another. That's a good foundation to have.
We've made a lot of mistakes along the way, but through it all, we were able to stick together. It's not all peaches and cream all the time, and it had right. Over the years, 24 years going on 25. I got some stories to tell, but we've been able to overcome some great obstacles, I count it a blessing to have somebody that I can trust and that right. That has my best interest at heart, and I have hers as well, that her best interest at heart too. And I'm just thankful.
Oh, yes. That's good here. Like I said, we, in this broadcast, we cover just a wide variety of topics, even transgender. I spoke to a guy, maybe a month ago, he passed away. I think he died for like an hour and went to heaven, and wrote a book about it. I'm always glad to hear to hear a marriage is going well, because I ain't mean to go this route here, but it's just so many marriages nowadays just falling apart. Just the divorce rates just skyrocketing, and just to hear a man, husband and wife weathering the storm, I'm glad to hear that, man. I really am. I'm happy for you.
Thank you, brother. I'm glad to be able to say it.
Yes, sir. We're talking to Mr. Willie Banks Jr., the son of the late legendary Willie Banks. And I tell you, your father left behind volumes of song, like the song we just played to begin the broadcast, like Too Late. Song like that, I don't know how to describe it. It just makes you think.
He was a master storyteller.
Exactly. That's just my point, man. Just the words you can envision what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a gift he had.
Yeah, that song, and then the song about the little girl, that got sick. She was partying, having what she called herself a real good time, and God struck her down on her sick bed, while she was down, God touched her body, and the doctors didn't understand, how she recovered the way she did. And, just all these stories, and he presented them with so much detail. You could put yourself in the song, you can literally, like you said, you can visualize it. And, he was very talented at that, that's something that I definitely want to work on, because that's not easy to do, And that's what I was saying earlier about technique and, really understanding how to go get a song across and, keep the people engaged and, how to make people think, like you said. It's definitely a gift from God,
So. I'll tell you that Too Late and, just the music, the background, that trembling guitar, it's so dark and heavy. It's almost scary.
That was a super group. Now that's when he was with the Jackson Southern Air. That wasn't even the Messengers. That was before the Messengers. You know, so that was, he was with Huey Williams and Frank Williams and, you know, those guys, you know, they had a, and among others, you know, I can't name them all right now, but yeah, those guys were, you know, trendsetters. They were trailblazers, you know, and it's just, that sound is still relevant, believe it or not, especially, you know, in that that arena that we were talking about with the Blind Boys, man. They would kill that arena, man. Those people would go crazy hearing that type of stuff, you know, and it's just, so there's room for everybody. You know, all we have to do is, like I said, develop relationships and bridge the gaps between the two, you know, arenas, man, you know, the two markets, you know, and I believe it can be done if we, you know, be intentional about it.
Okay. Oh, man. So I'm still stuck on, so he was with the Jackson Southern Airs. So he recorded that with the Jackson Southern Airs.
Yeah, he was with, yeah.
Okay. I thought I come across a YouTube video, and I heard of Jackson Southern Airs singing that song Too Late. I thought that was Huey Williams leading that.
No, that was well. There is a version with Huey Williams leading it.
Oh, okay.
But the original is with Willie Banks leading it.
Oh, okay.
A young Willie Banks, yeah.
Oh man, that's
yeah.
So. That is something. Yeah, wasn't. Wasn't your father with the Volunteers too?
He was actually, if I'm not mistaken, he was actually one of the original members of the Volunteers.
Oh wow!
Yeah, but he said he couldn't sing high like that. You know, guys sang song too high for him. But if I'm not mistaken, I heard him say that he was one of the original members of the Volunteers. He has a rich history in quartet music and gospel music. Very rich. He sung with a lot of people and, you know, was able to do a lot of things over the time, but even before the Messengers, you know, so.
Man, that is something. Yeah, that's, I tell you, that's a history lesson here. Yeah. Do the Volunteers have any recordings with him? Was he the one of the lead singers? Or?
Now you're going past me. I don't know that. You would have to ask somebody from that time. You know.
Okay.
I don't. That's all I know at this point about that.
Okay.
Because he spent some time up north in Detroit, and you know, so but I don't know all of the history. I just ran across some information about that, you know.
Oh, okay.
I'm too young to know about all that.
I like to dig into history and know, learn about stuff like that. You know, that's.
You got to realize if Willie Banks was still alive, he would be in his 90s.
Yeah, that's.
You know, he would be up there with Spencer Taylor. You know, in that age range.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Yeah, so.
Yes, indeed. Mr. Willie Banks Jr. here we're speaking with. And so you're working on a new project with the End Time Messengers? Y'all have any projects coming up you're working on? I thought you had mentioned it early on.
I'm working on a tribute.
Okay.
Working on a tribute. And the reason I haven't released is because, you know, we have some legal stuff we have to take care of before we can properly release it. So once I get that squared away, you know, you'll be looking out to hear some of those, some of his greatest hits, you know, redone by yours truly. And hopefully I'll do him some justice and his fans will be able to, you know, get a glimpse of what Willie Banks was all about, you know. So be looking out for that. It's going to be out the top of next year. I can't say exactly when because, like I said, we have to make sure that everything is in place legally, you know, to be able to release that stuff. But, I'm excited about it because there's a generation that needs to know about Willie Banks and what he brought to the gospel industry. And I'm just excited about being able to do that and to, you know, share that legacy with the people. Now, the messenger is still sing, okay. You know, but yeah, I'm going to represent them too. So yeah. And hopefully we'll be able to come together and do something together before they get, you know, get too old to where they can't travel anymore. But yeah, those guys, I love those guys, Willie Mitchell and Jackie Hurd and Mike Watson. You know, we lost Henry Wesley a couple years mm-hmm. back. Mm-hmm. You know, we got Freddie Berry and, you know, Joshua Stewart and, you know, those guys, you know, that that paved the way with, you know, those messengers. It's been many messengers along the way that I probably can't name them all, but yeah. Those are the guys that I, you know, I grew up under and were able to have, you know, have a relationship with and get to meet and get to talk to, you know. So I respect those guys a whole lot, and hopefully I can you know, I can represent in the way that'll make them all proud and, you know, honor my father in the best light possible.
Oh yes, and I'll tell you, we'll be looking out for that. You said sometime early next year.
Yeah, it's soon as I can. Like the album is pretty much done. Mm-hmm. We just gotta, you know, you know how you have to, because he was under certain record labels and stuff, and we have to be able to make sure all the rights and, you know, everything are in place, you know, so that I don't, you know, want nobody trying to sue me, or, you know, just, you know, you have to take care of business on the back, you know, behind the scenes, you know.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Oh. All right. Y'all heard it here, folks. Now y'all go on and y'all be on the lookout for it.
Now we can sing the stuff. We can sing it, but, you know, as far as recording it and selling it, you know, being able, like, if you want to buy it, you know, so we can definitely sing the stuff though. Ain't no law against singing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, yes, indeed. And you say y'all done traveling for the year. Well, if you want to, you're free to give out your booking information to anybody that might want to book you for the year coming up.
Well, let me pull this up really quick because I don't have any business cards with me because I'm on the road right now. But
no problem at all.
But you can call if you want to book the group for next year, this upcoming year. You can reach us at, give me 1 second. You can reach us at 414-949-4127, and my booking manager will let you know what needs to happen, and we'll go from there. So that number again is 414-949-4127. And Willie Banks and the End Time Messengers.
All right, y'all.
INTIME. So,
really? Yep. Oh, you got something else you want? Oh, yeah, anything else you want to say?
Well, I want to say I appreciate you consider me, you know, the interview, and, you know, and finding value in speaking with me. You know, I don't count myself to be anything great, you know, so any opportunity that I get, you know, to share what I'm trying to do and to, you know, bring light to my dad's history and, you know, his music and his legacy, I count it an honor and a privilege. And I just, you know, ask that the people of God would keep me in their prayers, and that God would keep me healthy and thrust us forward in our efforts. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen, what God is going to do in this journey, because to be honest, I was just going to keep doing my bass stuff, you know, playing bass and doing my solos bass record and I was happy doing that, but God had a different plan. So I just ask that the people of God will keep me in your prayers, keep me and my group in your prayers, and I'll do the same for you all. And let's lift up the name of Jesus a little bit higher.
All right, and that's been Willie Banks Jr. Again, I appreciate you for agreeing to come on, and y'all be on the lookout for the new project next year. God bless and stay the same. And again, I appreciate you coming on, and I really hope how everyone that's listening, however you're listening, where you're listening from, thank y'all for tuning in, and I hope you got something out of it. And till then, God bless you all.
If you only trust him, he'll praise your future. I know he will. Hold high on higher ground. Just look to Jesus, from whence all I am now. To Jesus.